Welcome to Journal Club for October 16th, 2024. I'm Malcolm Diggs. Today, we're going to be talking about a new variant of an algorithmic technique that IoT devices use to obscure their location. But none of this will make any sense without heaps of context, so I'm going to spend a lot of time on that. Then we'll look at how this new technique fits in and what it does differently. All right, let's get into it. The past decade has seen nothing short of a revolution in privacy protection. From GDPR in Europe to CCPA in California to third-party cookie restrictions built into iOS and stronger browser defaults around HTTPS. Compared to the Wild West days of the early and mid-2000s, the internet consumer today has far more protections and avenues for recourse than ever before. The operators of web applications, mobile apps, APIs, newsletters, and other internet services are governed by strict compliance regimes that dictate what they can and can't do with your personal information. Importantly, these regimes also specify how they must care for, handle, and protect your personal data, securing it from bad actors, encrypting it, and ensuring its safety. But when it comes to your location, there's an asterisk, a catch. This catch has nothing to do with a company's willingness or unwillingness to keep your information safe. It has nothing to do with how they structure their application or store your data. It has to do with TCP, the underlying transport layer protocol for HTTPS, SSH, TLS, IMAP, DNS, MQTT, and many of the other application layer protocols that power the modern web. Remember that a TCP packet is essentially like a piece of mail. You can make that mail as secure and tamper-proof as you want, but at the end of the day, the recipient's and the sender's addresses are still written on the outside. That address is your end IP address, which can sometimes map to your location, and that's one of the reasons that VPNs exist, to act as mail forwarding services. The VPN receives the TCP packets for you and forwards them to you. Now, only you and the VPN know your actual location, while the web services you're using don't. This solution works well for your laptop, because it connects to Wi-Fi and uses the web. It also works well for your phone, because it uses Wi-Fi or a 3G, 4G, 5G network, but doesn't work for IoT. Consider the Internet of Things devices that you have all over your house. Often, they don't make direct connections to the internet. They're too small, too low power, too purpose-built. They're not designed to be nodes on the web. Instead, they are often part of networks like MANETs, mobile ad hoc networks, also known as WANETs, wireless ad hoc networks, and VANETs, vehicular ad hoc networks. These networks don't operate like the web, with routers and switches. In these networks, every device is itself a node, a switch, a router, all wrapped into one. The nodes communicate through each other, like a game of telephone. If sensitive information is communicated, it's sometimes possible that the other nodes in the network can see it, because they're relaying it. That applies to your location as well. Some IoT devices provide location-based services, so a lot of the data traveling across the network is about the exact location of the device. In 99.99% of cases, this is not something to worry about. However, in certain cases, particularly in VANETs, where your car communicates with roadside units, RSUs, your car might periodically broadcast its location. And for various reasons, encryption isn't always an option or even desirable in this situation. Now, if this was the web and not a VANET, you could use a VPN. If it was TCP and not VANET-specific protocols, you could encrypt the payload. But this is a different playing field where those solutions, the solutions we're used to on the web, just can't work. So instead of encryption or a VPN, the car will use a technique called K-anonymity. In this technique, rather than saying, "Here I am at these coordinates," a car says, "There's a group of cars of size K within these boundaries, and I am one of the cars in that group." Now, the research paper we're discussing introduces a new variant of K-anonymity called CKA, clustering K-anonymity, which the authors claim is better able to withstand a specific type of eavesdropping attack called a narrow region attack, and is overall more reliable in fulfilling the purpose of K-anonymity. Traditional K-anonymity relies solely on the real locations of nearby nodes. In this example, nearby nodes means the other locations where other cars really are. CKA, on the other hand, incorporates both real and quote-unquote virtual locations, which is a nice way of saying that they just make a whole bunch of stuff up. In traditional K-anonymity, attackers could use the real locations of nearby nodes to gradually narrow down the possible locations of the target node. In other words, as you're broadcasting, I'm part of this group, now I'm part of that group, now I'm part of this other group, they're eventually able to figure out which one in the group you are. But in this clustering-based approach, there are so many both real and virtual locations introduced across such a large area that it kills their ability to narrow down to the target. The proposed solution is something that the head node of AVANET would do. A head node is the node responsible for managing and coordinating communication within the group. It collects location data from other nodes, so other cars, forms a group, and then sends that aggregated location information out to wherever it needs to go. CKA is effectively a five-step process that the head node does. 1. A node monitors the network for broadcasts from nearby head nodes. 2. If no broadcast is detected, the node becomes the head node and broadcasts a notice to collect location data from the other nodes. 3. The head node divides the region into clusters, ensuring that at least one real or virtual location is selected from each cluster. 4. The head node sends a request to the service provider, wherever this information is going, containing the selected real and virtual locations. 5. The head node then broadcasts a confirmation with all locations completing the process. This setup ensures that each node's real location is there, but it's hidden within the group. So if you're wondering, why not just make up all the locations? Remember that the head node is self-electing as a leader that acts in its own interest and in the interest of all the other nodes. The head node is the one communicating with the third party, or what they call the service provider. And for each node, each car in this example, it needs to be true that they are one of the nodes in the set being sent to the third party. So the set does need to contain real information. CKA just fills in a lot of other fake information too, but it remains true that in the set that's finally sent along, the head node is one of K in that set, and for each of the other real nodes, they are one of K in that set. So it's fulfilling its duties as a head node and just utilizing all this other fake data to make it harder to pinpoint them. For this paper, the researchers didn't actually build a new system. Instead, they designed it and then simulated it. Specifically, they simulated a 100 meter by 100 meter area. They conducted 100,000 iterations under varying conditions. There's different numbers of clusters, degrees of K anonymity, and number of eavesdroppers and legitimate users. They measured metrics like eavesdropping probability, transmission failure rates, comparing CKA to traditional K anonymity, and direct transmission methods. Then they evaluated the proportion of real locations within requests and the success rates of transmissions. So in other words, how well does this work if 99% of the data is fake? How well does it work if only 1% of the data is fake? What's the right balance? Overall, the evaluation showed that CKA outperformed traditional K-anonymity and direct transmission methods in reducing eavesdropping probability and enhancing location privacy. As the number of clusters increased, CKA provided stronger privacy protection, making it more difficult for attackers to identify a specific node's location. Additionally, CKA consistently succeeded in transmitting location data without failure, whereas the traditional K-anonymity algorithm often failed due to an insufficient number of nodes. The evaluation also revealed that CKA maintained a reasonable balance between privacy and communication efficiency. This study demonstrated that by combining real and virtual locations and using dynamic clustering, CKA could protect against traditional and narrow region attacks more effectively than traditional K-anonymity. If you'd like to learn more about their technique, or review the results from their analysis, or just learn more about K-anonymity, or VANETs, or MANETs, or WANETs, or whatever, then I'd encourage you to download the paper. Thank you for joining me on today's episode of Journal Club. I hope you enjoyed it. Malcolm Diggs signing off. See you tomorrow.